Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Nail gun injuries up 200%. 37,000 nail gun injuries a year. Makes this country strong. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Coming up later on, CNN Radio correspondent Jim Roop, Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. And stuff. Everything okay over there, Tim? All right, just checking. Ladies and gentlemen, your president, prophet, seer, and revelator.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth,
bam,
this is Tim Riley.
A bird has flown into the engine of Dick Cheney's plane. Yes, the bird flew in and damaged the engine of the vice president's plane as it arrived in Chicago this morning. The plane landed safely. Nobody was hurt. The mechanics inspected the plane to see if repairs are necessary.
Was the bird taken to a secret prison and did it have a jumper cables put on its testicles and was it beaten savagely and denied?
Well, the thing is, the bird is never mentioned again.
Oh, well,
should we be surprised?
Well, it's just the same. Then it all has the same. We end up at the same bottom of the page anyway, I suppose. I'm surprised. I don't want to get into a whole discussion about the mechanics and physics of jet airliners. I can't talk today. Maybe I am channeling Imus. Do you have Imus news coming up?
Yeah, we do.
I asked stupidly.
We got one more story to go. We have plenty of Imus news.
We'll talk about that in a second. Then I don't want to get into the whole thing about the physics of jet airliners, except to ask. I don't understand how this doesn't happen all the time. The sky is filled with birds. I mean, the last time I checked, unless they're all at Bodega Bay attacking Tippi Hedren, the sky is filled with birds, and yet apparently because if you're in a plane, you're flying along very fast. Now, a plane can fly faster than a bird can fly.
Most birds are at 33,000 feet. Birds fly lower.
I guess. But, I mean, planes have to go through that airspace to climb, and then when they land, they have to come back through that. It just seems like birds ought to be smashing into planes and being sucked into their engines all the time. It seems like this ought to be happening a lot more often than it does. And my question is, now I'm not urging anybody to do this, but if you have a jet engine on an airplane and a bird gets sucked into it, does that destroy the jet engine?
It could damage it, I would imagine.
I wonder how big something has to be.
Birds come in all shapes and sizes.
I'm just saying, if you're on a 747 and there's one of those big turbine jet engines on it, if you threw a football into that, I wonder if it would destroy it. Not the football, but the engine. These are the things I wonder about. Because when you think about that the next time you fly through the air, by the way, that there's all kinds of things in the air. And if somebody toss a tennis ball into there, probably kill you. Kill you dead. All right, it's Tim Riley.
So today's a big day. As we know, Carl Rove is in town eating breakfast, we understand. And tonight is the big night when he is going to be at the Embassy Suites. He'll be there from 6:30 to 7:30. But if you did not contact the Washington County Republicans meetup group, then chances are you didn't get tickets to get in.
Who even knew that he ate? I mean, something apart from babies.
Oh, that's true, too.
Yeah.
So you had to sign up ahead of time. And let's see here. It's $60 to get in. Program concludes at 7:30, so it's only an hour, so I guess they don't feed you. You just sit there and listen to them.
It really is kind of tempting to go. I mean, it is.
Too late. I tried to sign this up, but it's too late.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, because,
had to RSVP by April 6th.
In a weird way, it was almost tempting, to go. But I guess I'll just have to live without being in the same room as Carl Rove. I'm sorry, MC Rove.
So it's a grassroots reception and business attire, please.
I'm sure it's a grassroots. Yeah, it's a ragtag band of misfits. I'm sure that's exactly what it is. Grassroots, not at all constructed and organized by the GOP. No.
No, this is Washington County Republican Party.
Of course.
Hosting this reception.
All right.
So that's that. So we got the birds out of the way, Carl Rove out of the way. Guess what we're going to talk about now?
Please tell me it's not Imus.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
We've accepted his apology. That's a word from Rutgers women's basketball coach Vivian Stringer.
Rutger?
I barely knew
her. He was remorseful. He expressed his apology. We've accepted his apology. This team and I would like to heal. We are in the process of forgiving.
If it wasn't for the media, they wouldn't even know they were ailing.
I suppose. This is the coach we just heard?
That's the coach.
All right.
And people should let Imus learn from this lesson.
Let this man have some level of integrity. Let him grow. Let us all learn from this.
voice is really unpleasant.
You're not going to hear it after tomorrow.
No, I was going to say, fortunately, I mean...
Then she'll take something for it, because she said the healing process has begun.
The healing process! On this strange, raspy voice I've got! The thing about it is, and I think, Mike was making this point on Donna Mike last night, that everybody's talking about the stress that these girls are going through, but I wonder how much of that stress is caused by the fact that they're being shoved in front of every camera on God's green earth, and you got to wonder if that was even really by their choice, you know what I mean? These girls on the team who's, you know, trying to play ball and do their thing, and even everywhere they go, there's just a million cameras and the glare of a million spotlights, and they get microphones shoved in their face. Were they the champions? Did they win the championship? I don't know enough about basketball.
They did, yes.
They win the championship, but of course, yeah. Nobody's ever going to... See, that. And nobody's ever going to ask them about that.
Well, nobody cares about women's sports.
Well, statistics would indicate that, yes, the level of interest in female basketball in this country is drastically and substantially...
Portland could be different, though,
due to
our different demographics than most cities.
What do you mean?
Well, there's a lot of women's sports fans here.
You mean men who are into women's sports?
No. Women who are into women's sports. All kinds.
Women who are into women's sports.
Yes.
Okay. Moving forward, I'm just going to say this. The thing is, these poor girls are never going to be asked, hey, how did it win? How did it feel to be the champions? How did it feel to win that big game? They're never going to be asked that. It's just going to be, I was joking. We didn't say this on the air, but I was joking before the show today. That we ought to get just like our big voice guy to voice a blanket statement that plays at the beginning of every day's show that goes, we do not agree with what Don Imus said, but, because that's the thing that everybody, every white pundit feels the need to say that like 1,000 times, and I'm no different. Nobody's defending what Imus said as such. Nobody's saying, nobody says it was an all right thing to say. I guess my point, though, is that by however you feel about it, by blowing it so, in my opinion, drastically out of proportion, all it has done... He's taken the statements of, if you operate from the assumption that Imus is like a bigoted old white guy, all he's done is taken a bigoted old white guy and let him forever overshadow whatever the achievements of this basketball team is. That's the thing. Because whatever their actual scholastic or sports achievements were, at least in the last 2 weeks, are going to be an asterisk compared to the comments of an old white guy.
Nobody remembers what this video clip is about.
No! All they remember is that the Rutgers basketball team, blah, 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 old white man. And you would think that they would be trying to sort of get away from that at this point, but what the hell do I know?
All right, here's Tim Riley.
So anyway, Deirdre Hines took time out. Did I say Deirdre? Hines?
Imus.
Hines.
Yeah. The Hines was unremarkable.
Well, after they had their dinner or get-together, whatever happened last night at that governor's mansion, Deirdre Imus took time out to address the ongoing controversy.
How's your mouth?
It's better. And her husband.
Are you sure that wasn't a stroke you had the other day? You sure it was Novocaine?
I hope so.
Okay.
And they put some other experimental thing in my mouth. I'm not exactly sure what that was. Apparently... Her husband and members of the Rutgers women's basketball team. They call this a...
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Thinking of a bawdy limerick I heard yesterday.
Here's Don Lavis' wife.
Okay.
They gave us the opportunity to listen to what they had to say and why they're hurting. And
fun week for her.
How awful this is. And I have to say that these women are unbelievably courageous and beautiful.
Happy with that marriage, are you? Please discuss the way the Rutgers team is being treated by some people.
One thing I want to say is that the hate mail that's being sent to them must stop. This is the wrong. If you want to send hate mail, send it to my husband. I mean, don't be sending hate mail to these young women.
Practice this phrase.
Where do we send things to Imus?
Irreconcilable differences. I would guess general delivery. just send it to Fred.
Yes, send it to Fred Imus.
That she's had to cancel that cookbook tour of hers. And I'm dead serious about that. She had a cookbook, some vegan thing, she's on tour for that. She had to cancel that because that's gonna work out bad. Well, there's no more piggybacking for Deirdre. You'll have to actually get somewhere on your own talent at this point. So that's regrettable, I suppose.
Oh, by the way, did I tell you that the most important person who was supposed to be at that last night didn't show up? Because New Jersey Governor John S. Corzine is in critical condition, but he's expected to recover after his SUV crashed into a guardrail
while heading to a meeting between Imus and the Rutger women's basketball team.
All right. Has Imus apologized for that?
He hasn't. No.
All right. Well, I'm...
It broke the governor's leg, six ribs, his sternum, and fractured a vertebrae. Now, they're searching for a pickup truck whose actions are being blamed for causing it. He didn't suffer any brain damage, though, so he can still think. He won't be able to assume his duties as governor for several weeks. So that's that.
Apparently, Rutgers lost. I've got a couple.
Oh, I thought they won.
All right, well, let's find out. This is Eli. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
What's up?
Sorry about the congestion. I'm out here on all those horrible roadways that Portland has. Yeah, the Rutgers women did lose, and they lost by... they didn't lose by a little. They lost by double digits.
They lost by a jillion.
Then why is it saying that this ruined their celebration?
Yes,
were they celebrating?
Yeah, they're...
Exactly, what is it? Were they celebrating a moral victory? Were they celebrating winning inside?
Yeah, getting beat by Tennessee by 20 points is giving them all the publicity and taking it away from the Volunteers.
Yeah, all right. So they hey, yes.
Anyway, that's all I have to say about my sports knowledge.
All right. Okay.
Helping you out.
Yes. All right. Thank you.
No problem.
All right. There you go. That's Eli. Okay. So they did. So apparently
they lost.
Apparently Imus ruined the celebration that they had planned over their loss. All right. Well, whatever.
Well, have I been here for the past couple of days that he ruined this party or victory?
Yeah, I don't understand.
Isn't the object of throwing a ball around to win a game?
So one would think, but... You know, I'm no expert. All right, 503-733-2970. Did you see that the photograph of Imus leaving?
Yes, I did.
Was it 30 Rock or Black Rock? Where was he? It's the two different buildings, right?
Yeah.
Wherever he was.
He didn't say.
Where was his show out of? Where is WFAN? I don't know anything.
No, it's not downtown. It's further down.
Well, then what was he? He was either at 30 Rock or Black Rock. I forget. It was like, here's a photo of Imus leaving Rock.
It was probably 30 Rock because they closed down the MSNBC studios there in New Jersey and fired a bunch of people, and they moved everybody back to 30 Rock, I believe.
So there was this photograph of him, and he wasn't carrying the... And Bruce would know the entire history of the building, every radio station that's ever been there.
No, that's what we need to know.
What kind of wiring is inside the walls and exactly what kind of microphone windscreens they use? What was I saying? Oh, so they did. There was no photograph of Imus Carey. Like, he didn't have a box. He has people he'll send for that. He'll send Bo Deedle over to pick up his crap.
But you really can't say in the picture he looked terrible because he always looks about the same.
Boy, but I gotta tell you, man, Susan Reynolds made this observation. He just looked like a corpse the last couple of days. I mean,
he's looked like a corpse the past couple of decades.
I guess maybe it's when he's out of that controlled lighting of the studio. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, maybe he was... Not that he really looked like any prize when he was on MSNBC. Jesus.
No, I mean, he looked like a Palomino with a cowboy hat on.
I made the point, and I think this is the best explanation I could come up with. He looked like that Grateful Dead skull that has, like, the hair full of the hair of roses. It's like the skeleton and the skull, and then it looks like it's got a full head of hair, but it's just roses, and so it's this weird red, big, bulbous hairdo on top of a skeleton. That's exactly what Imus has looked like in that MSNBC studio for the last year or so. But then once you get him in, as they say, once you get him in a good light, once you get him out in broad daylight... Eyes all sunken and not quite enough skin to go around on that face. I mean, it's a bad, it's a bad scene. So he was just walking out with his bag and his briefcase, so forth. Oh, wait, of course, let's welcome now with the Rick Emerson Show, our good friend, Bruce Agler, godlike former program director. Hello, sir.
Hello there. They had not closed the MSNBC studios in Secaucus, New Jersey as of yet.
Oh.
So that's, in fact, where he was doing the show. So even after he wasn't on MSNBC, that must have been an odd situation.
Well,
he was still there doing the radio show, but at the TV studio.
It was just not being shown anywhere.
It was not being shown on the TV.
Oh, okay.
They probably intended for him not to come back after the suspension, but because they'd already done all the preparations for that radiothon to be done from there. They had bands and stuff all coming. I guess they didn't feel like they could give them the boot out of the building yet.
Did you hear that they were averaging 200, it was either 200% or 200 more phone calls an hour during the radiothon this year than they have ever had in the past.
I know I got substantial more money. I didn't hear the phone totals. Yeah. And I guess the audience was up substantially as well.
Yeah, well, of course.
Well, I mean, we don't know the radio audience, but on MSNBC up until Wednesday, which was the last day, it was almost double what it had been the week before.
Well, I'm sure somebody somewhere knows what they're doing. All right. Thank you, sir.
Uh-huh.
There's Bruce Agler.
Well, he and Stern could share a studio again.
I'd pay for that. I would. Wouldn't you?
Just like old times.
Oh, man. If we were so bad, we wouldn't be so good. WNBC.
WNBC.
Somebody noted that what CBS really ought to have done, in this person's opinion, I forget who said this, but somebody said that CBS really ought to have, they ought to have just found... Because I think one of the things that Imus was saying, I swear to Christ, this is the last day we'll talk about this, because as of Monday, no one will care. But, so we've got to finish it out this week. This is the last day of the Imus, feeding fest. So, but Imus, I believe, and I didn't hear him say this, because it, as hard as it was to find him on the air, like 2 weeks ago, it was impossible as of yesterday. But apparently on the air, Imus, he'd said that thing that you knew... He wasn't going to say he'd gone to rehab. I mean, he didn't follow that cycle. To his credit.
What type of rehab would this have been?
I don't know. Maybe one where they get him back on the juice. Because, you know, it follows the cycle where you say something hideous, and then you come and you go, well, I'm... You know, this is not him.
People in New York do not go to rehab.
This is
for any reason.
It's true.
Not in California.
It's true.
There's no rehab for people in New York. They just continue.
They're not soft.
No. They're not sorry about anything. They just stopped yelling at you. That's the end of it.
Typically, the cycle has been in Hollywood, and this is anybody.
Yeah.
They get caught saying something hideous, and then they say, well, I'm sick. I've got to go to rehab now. Goodbye. And then they leave, and that's what's-his-name, Isaiah Washington, and it's idiot Mel Gibson, and it's all those guys. And Imus, you know, to his credit, didn't be like, I'm sick and I've got to go to, I have to go to a rehabilitation center. Now, he didn't do that, but apparently he had said in the last day or so, he had said that he was going to start making his show more diverse, and he was going to add staff members to add diversities, but presumably people of color, to his radio program, which would have just, I mean, to have him do it would have just felt so tokenistic and just so pointless.
Mm-hmm.
What they really should have done is CBS should have made the decision for him. They should have yanked, in my opinion, they should have yanked Imus out of that comfort zone where it's him and like five other rednecks in a room. They should have just grabbed Imus and just grabbed like the black version of Imus and stuck them in a room together and then given the microphones and a camera. That's what they should have done. And that should have been the new show. I would have watched that. You know,
mm-hmm.
I totally would have watched that. It added to give like a truly diverse feel to it. But that was apparently his last attempt at backpedaling before they just pulled the plug. When he's like, well, fine, I'll hire somebody who's not white. Fine. You know, just like sort of you get the feeling he's just kind of rolling his eyes like he was just puzzled by the whole thing. So, all right. Here's Tim Riley.
So it's time to check in with Bill Clinton and find out what he thinks about this whole thing.
While I deplore what Mr. Imus said, it was racist and it was sexist. And what was really sad is, and you can see it in the pictures, I thought this must be one unhappy fellow to have to talk about somebody else like that.
But he always looks unhappy.
I suppose. He doesn't really ever look alive or functional or like he's... I mean, I don't think I've ever once seen Imus... And I will not deny that I listened to his show for a long time. And I would also never deny that, you know, in the past there were elements of his show that I think influenced this show, especially in the early years of the show in Portland, because we followed him, by a few hours for a long time, and then we followed him when we were at Entercom. We actually followed his show was on, and then we immediately followed him. But I don't think I ever once saw a picture of him where he looked like he was enjoying himself in any way, ever. He always just...
You might have to ask his wife for that.
He looked like he'd been... I don't think anybody's going to be asking his wife for anything right now. I think his wife is going to be... I'm not sure...
Not even a recipe?
No. No, I don't think so. I think the only thing they're going to be asking Mrs. Imus is if she has decided on her choice of attorney at this point. But he always just looked like he'd just been sort of propped up on a stick in the chair, and he was just sort of running on batteries until his contract ran out. So I don't know. He just never, he never ever looked like he was having a good time or enjoying himself in any fashion. But, boy, you know, Bill Clinton. Well, you talk about a guy who can just address anything, and he just comes out like Teflon. All right.
Well, now it's time to talk to Bo Deagle.
Of course. Of course it is.
He said the firing was not necessary.
This is irresponsible. It's irresponsible for CBS. And I'm very surprised that my friend Sumner Redstone let this happen with Viacom. This thing should have waited until he was able to give his side, do his apologies, and then weigh it out, and then do what you have to do.
Boy, I don't know.
He should be making sandwiches in a deli somewhere.
I don't miss hearing from that guy.
No.
Boy, can I just tell you,
there's a real white man.
He's the Bo Deedle is perhaps the whitest man on earth.
Uh-huh.
He really is. Him and that stupid made-up gimmick he's got of mispronouncing words. Oh, man. And, you know, have you noticed this, too? He's changed Bo Deedle. It sounds like a fake name. It sounds like a made-up name. It sounds like I always want to say Beetle Bailey. Bo Deedle. He has actually changed the spelling of his name recently. This is true. From Bo, B-O, he now spells it B-E-A-U for that hint of...
That's very Hollywood.
That hint of sophistication. Well, you know... And
he's looking to become a more romantic figure with the ladies.
The worst thing... I got to give you the lovification that only Bo Deedle can give you. The worst thing they ever did for that guy was to let him be portrayed in a film. Because if you've seen that movie... There's actually two different movies that have had characters based on Bo Deedle. One is inspired by, and it's escaping me now, who is it? Oh, it's in Goodfellas. The cop that arrests Henry Hill at the end is based on Bo Deedle. And then if you've seen the Stephen Baldwin, I think it's Stephen. Who's the one that was in Usual Suspects? Daniel. No? Stephen. Whatever. One of the Baldwins.
It doesn't matter. They're interchangeable.
I was just going to say, it doesn't matter.
Stephen.
Who cares? Stephen.
Sure.
Fine.
It's not like, I'm going to see this movie because I want to see one of the Baldwin brothers. They're the greatest thing since Shakespeare.
Has anybody in their life ever said that they were going to see something because it had a Baldwin? Ever?
No.
Ever? Ever? Even Alec.
Just their PR people.
Even Alec. Has no one ever, except for whoever gets Kim Basinger's alimony for her, no one has ever voluntarily said, oh, you know, I wasn't going to see this, but now that it's got a Baldwin in it, color me there. But Stephen Baldwin played Bo Deedle in a film, one like some made-for-TV movie. And you can tell the Bo Deedle in his head just believes he is the biggest Hollywood star. Oh, man. I mean, you know, there were things on the Imus show that I liked, but goddamn, Bo Deedle and Fred Imus were two things that I did not. You want to talk about a test of my reflexes to see how fast I could turn the radio off? My brother Fred, click. Off, off, freaking off. And whenever he would say, now, Bo Deedle, I didn't even need to hear Deedle. Sometimes I'd hear Bo, I would punch buttons randomly just to get rid of that sound. Oh, screw him. I'm so glad we never had
him. I would even go talk to a board op when I heard him.
Bo Deedle's on. I'll go talk to Todd Gorger.
All right.
Wait, hold on. Yes, Gorger.
I barely knew her.
Here's Tim Riley.
Imus is back on the air. This radio station, KCAA AM, their news director, Dennis Baxter, said he will begin a Best of Imus series on the station next week as a show of support.
That'll show him.
Bottom line is, I don't believe firing is proportional to the crime.
He will face consequences for doing so.
We're willing to stand up to any legal challenge that anybody may come at us at this particular point in time. We have a contract with CBS Westwood One. They are to furnish content to us.
Unfortunately, no one knows where KCAA is. It wouldn't care.
I was just going to say, if only it's a radio station that anybody could get. If only it's a station that anybody could get the signal for.
It's the news power of Walla Walla. No, I'm not sure exactly what it is.
Well, people got to do what they got to do.
They do.
All right.
We've all been there.
It's true. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Rick, the movie was called One Tough Cop. Yeah, that's the Stephen Baldwin film. This guy says it's bad, bad, bad. Really? It's bad? It's got Stephen Baldwin. How can it be anything less than brilliant? The only good Stephen Baldwin film ever is The Usual Suspects. He was in Biodome, wasn't he? Wasn't that Stephen Baldwin in Biodome? What's sad is that both Tim and Sarah nodded their heads. They knew the answer. That's just depressing. It's 503-733-2970. Let's see. Our good friend Hog Whitman joining us now on the Rick Emerson Show. Long time no speak, Hog.
Hi, Rick.
What's up, brother?
Well, I was going to call in about self-inflicted nail gun injury, since I'm an expert on that, too.
Oh, fantastic.
But I also know a little bit about Imus.
You have to get a new Halloween costume. You won't be able to go as Imus anymore.
We have to tell the listeners who might be new who Hog Whitman is.
Hog Whitman is, the guy who's been on our show. You know, you've been calling our show off and on sporadically for a long time. And you do some recordings, some comedic and humorous country-styled recordings. And then you were on Imus a whole bunch, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I call you... You know, well, sporadically. I mean, yes. Whenever I'm out of prison, I call. So, you know.
thank you, sir.
But I'm sitting here listening to you dissing my friend Bo Deedle here.
That drives me up the wall.
Seriously, you know,
it's like having nails pounded into my soul.
I know. He's one of the. I met him when I first went to New York, and big surprise, we were both instant mutual fans. You know.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to add that meeting Imus, being there and all that, raised my degree of separation quotient by, you can't believe it, you know, because I can, what's the hell, him, 1 degree separation, you know, that kind of thing, if anybody's familiar with that movie. Oh, by the way, there was another movie that was sort of written about a case that about a case that Bo Deedle solved. That nuns getting murdered case. Bad Lieutenant Harvey Keitel.
Somebody told me about that.
They should have just called it Bad Movie.
All right. Excellent. There you go. Hog Whitman, ladies and gentlemen. A past the frequent regular on the Imus show. That's right. I forgot about that. Bad Lieutenant Harvey Keitel was about that nun that was, I don't know, she was killed and stabbed up or whatever. And I guess Bo Deedle was the guy who kind of cracked that. All right.
Hog Whitman was at that sweaty listener party we were at.
Oh, man. There's photos of that. Good segue, Tim Riley. Look at you.
Yeah.
We don't have to talk about it now. We'll talk about it later. We spent this morning upstairs at the conference room sorting out all of the submissions and all the exhibits for the listener party.
There's a conference room upstairs.
Yeah.
Been up there.
No. I try to avoid it, too, but that's where they put. There was no more office space down here. You know, the thing about having... never mind. It's 503-733-2970. We'll talk to Listener Party 10 later on. Also, Cena radio correspondent Jim Ripple. Break here. We'll come back. Your phone calls and more of Tim Riley in the AM 970 Noon News Hour. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent James Roop. Also the top five. Okay. You just missed it. Scotty just walked into the studio and handed me a slip of paper identifying the people who were on hold. Is the call screening software not working? I ask. Knowing he can't answer because he can't type back on the screen because the call screening software is not working. All right. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, all righty.
You know, I just once I wish that Katie Couric would start her news with that.
Well, I'm kind of pausing here as I try to reload.
Are you pausing to collect your thoughts?
I'm pausing here to collect my sound bites.
Okay. Well, why don't you ponder those for just a second?
They're ready.
Oh, okay.
There we go. Well, you just never know.
Damn it.
Here or they're not.
Roof my fun.
Okay. All right. Well, let's try to...
Sure. No hurry. Sit over here.
Well, here we go.
All right.
A couple of more Imus. As a matter of fact, this is the last one.
What we were waiting for is more Imus samples. Yes.
Man, well, we haven't asked... I guess we're not. Hang on a minute here. All right, now we're ready. Let's ask Nancy Pelosi what she thinks.
It's really sad that people mistake cruelty for humor in certain circles. And I think it's important for people to know that that has no place.
Whatever. Just shut your hole. I mean, seriously. We're not going to talk about a past today. We will continue to take, people have comments about it or calls. We are As my consultant, former consultant Brian Jennings used to say, this is conversation radio or interactive radio. That was the name that they tried to use for talk radio for a while in the early 90s. They call it inter because they thought it sounded all cyber.
Yeah.
You know, this is really interactive radio. As though, like, for the previous 80 years, it had not been an interactive medium. So people can comment or whatever about IMUS. I'm certainly not pushing you to pick up the phone and call about IMUS, but by God, if you feel like there's just more that has to be said about Don Imus or Bo Deedle or whatever you
call. Well, that's just one topic you could cover. I'm sure there are many more.
You could also call about dust bunnies under your bed, perhaps, or your favorite pair of slippers. So I will say this, that when Nancy Pelosi says, what does she say? What, can you play that? I can't believe I'm asking you this. Can you play that Nancy Pelosi soundbite again?
With pleasure.
It's really sad that people mistake cruelty for humor in certain circles. And I think it's important for people to know that that has no place.
God, I swear to God, just could she be more unlikable and uncharismatic? And I really was a fan of hers for about the first week that I knew who she was. I should have known what with her San Francisco values and all.
No, she's from Philadelphia.
I thought she was
a working class neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
Who pulled yourself up by her bootstraps.
By marrying somebody wealthy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, did I say that out loud?
Who took her to San Francisco.
Where she got San Francisco values. The thing about Nancy Pelosi is that statement she says that it's a shame that people mistake cruelty for humor. What that statement totally denies, here's the thing that statement totally ignores and flies in the face of, and the thing that we all know to be true. And usually when people say, you know, there's something we all know, but that nobody says out loud, it's usually a cue that they're going to say something racist or sexist or bigoted or whatever, and they're going to try to pass it off as something we all think, but we don't want to say. And then it's just some idiot redneck statement. That's not what this is. This is, though, something that we all know, but we don't really think about it. It's not that you don't say it out loud, you'd be afraid to. You just don't really put it together in your head in these terms. You just sort of know in your gut, though, that it's real. And this is a point that has been made by a lot of people in the last couple of days. I'm like the 50th guy to make this point. But that quite, and anybody who denies this is just is either lying or deluded or doesn't think about the state of things as they are. They see things through this weird rose-colored prism of how things ought to be, which is that frequently cruelty and humor are exactly the same thing, or they are intertwined. They're merged together with each other. I mean, if you're, and I know that Tim and I both probably grew up watching the Marx Brothers and the Three Stooges, and you know what? The Marx, especially the Three Stooges, that's an entire form of comedy based on cruelty to your fellow man. For no reason. You know what? Curly, come over here. Bam! Fingers right in the eyes, kicking a guy in the junk, shoving him down some stairs. It's shoving a guy. Don Geronimo used the example of a guy slipping on the ice, and then you laugh. You know what I mean? You know, guy getting his tongue stuck to the flagpole. The Marx Brothers playing, spraying somebody with seltzer water. Bugs Bunny is shooting, you know, getting Daffy Duck shot in the face. People making jokes about other people on the air, us making fun of the fact that you can see right through Nicole, you can read a newspaper through Nicole Richie's body, the fact that Britney Spears can't quit shaving her head and showing her crotch everywhere in public. 90% of the humor that anybody engages in ever is at the expense of someone else. People don't want to admit that. It doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't mean you're necessarily in every situation that you're a bigot or a terrible person or a hate monger or racist or sexist or anything like that. The vast majority of humor, almost no humor is victimless. There is almost no humor in this world that is without a victim. Humor comes at the expense of someone else, either something happening to them, a misunderstanding, something you say about them, an unfortunate circumstance that befalls them. You know, when you're watching a Buster Keaton film and the house falls on him and you laugh, you're laughing at a guy who had a house fall on him. I mean, that is humor at the expense of someone else. So, for her to say, for anybody to say, that, well, you know, humor shouldn't hurt anybody's feelings. Humor shouldn't come at the expense of someone else's emotional state. Humor and cruelty have nothing to do with each other. They have everything to do with each other, and that's just the way it is. And if you don't think it's that way, you are living in a delusional world of your own making, or you're simply lying. So, that's all I'm going to say about it.
She can go back to San Francisco.
Seriously, with your San Francisco values.
All right.
She is not a San Francisco treat in any way. That's how I'm going to sum her up.
Well, let's see what's going on in Gresham, shall we?
Okay, let's cue the cruel humor now. Okay, go.
Residents of a town home were not hurt when a tow truck plowed into their residence early this morning. They found the driver of the truck. He was easy to find since, the truck said it was from Always Towing of Sandy.
They have arrested
Sandy.
Michael O'Malley and charged him with numerous counts of reckless driving, reckless endangerment, criminal mischief. The kitchen and living room area of the home on Woodland Drive was severely damaged by the impact.
In Gresham.
The truck skidded through a wooden fence, rolled over several times while skidding down the lawn, and then smashed into the house.
How much damage could it really have done to anything that's in Gresham?
Well, the family rents the home and has gone to stay with family members in Milwaukee, so that's kind of a step up for keeping Gresham.
Seriously, insurance agents are assessing the damage to the home, but it looks normal for a house in Gresham. Damage in that it's done tens of dollars of damage.
Well, here's the worst part. The property manager for the home says the father of the displaced family is a teacher at Springwater Trail High School. That was the scene of a student shooting earlier this week.
So they're having the best week ever.
Yes, they're right.
All right. Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, Rick, I'm going to try with the trifecta of relevance here on this call.
All right.
I co-wrote and produced Hog Whitman's hit Leather Whips and Rubber Underwear that got play on Imus.
Fantastic.
That was a lot of fun to do that. Second, KCAA is the only radio station on the West Coast that streams Imus. It's delayed, but they stream it for the West Coast time feed.
Okay.
So that's all I got. I got KCAA.
That's
got
not really a
Hog Whitman.
I was going to say, that's not really a trifecta. That's just two things.
Oh, it's a two-fecta.
It's a two-fecta. Two-fecta. I barely knew it. All right.
Thanks,
okay.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you. There you go. That's apparently a new definition of a trifecta. All right, here's Tim Riley at the... Oh, I wish you could see this. As I was drawing that out because Tim was leaning forward to try to pick up a news story that was across the counter, and he was leaning forward, and his hands were scrabbling like a dog trying to run on tile. His hands were scrabbling on the Formica countertop trying to get the news story, and then finally he just gave up and collapsed while reaching for it.
Well, this is what I was reaching for, so hopefully it's worth everyone's time.
Really, you were like a gerbil on a smooth-bottomed cage running in place there for a second.
Well, a baby is apparently not in Oscar nominee Leonardo DiCaprio's near future. Britain's The Mirror tabloid had reported the star and his girlfriend of 15 months, Vara Raffaelli, were expecting their first child together. A rep for DiCaprio tells Us Magazine that the story is 100% made up. But these reps lie all the time. That's what they're paid for.
Rumors are always true anyway.
The Mirror claim that speculation about the baby-to-be started last month when the 21-year-old woman wore a loose-fitting top to a Las Vegas club and drank mineral water while there. 32-year-old, yes, he's 32 now, DiCaprio previously dated supermodel Gisele Bündchen.
I thought he was older than 32, for one thing. Well, whatever. You know, I realize now that I open my mouth, I don't really care about Leonardo DiCaprio. So, I'm just going to end this now. David, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah, Rick, I've been listening to this KCAA in Loma Linda, California. I mean, Loma Linda.
Loma Linda?
I barely knew her.
Yeah, I had to, that was...
Oh, well, sorry. Yeah. I tried to set you up.
Hey, sorry, and I failed you.
This is the most boring thing I've ever heard. You have... I mean, this guy is probably about 95 years old. He's been talking about Mexican trucks for the last 20 minutes.
Is this... You're listening to a repeat of the Ima show on KCAA?
No, I'm listening to live KCAA right now. Oh. But they're the ones that are going to be airing Ima's reruns all next week.
Well, it's...
Well, they're going to be in a lot of trouble for doing that.
Yeah, it's...
yeah.
Yeah, see, yeah, CBS is not going to look kindly on that, by the way.
This is an NBC affiliate.
Really? Well, yeah. That guy's going to get about one day's worth of publicity out of it, and I think it's today. And he's going to be told, I think, in no uncertain terms not to do that. So, yeah, it doesn't... Where is the station at? Yorba Linda?
Loma Linda.
Loma Linda. Tim, where's Loma Linda?
You got me.
didn't they have, like, an earthquake there?
Well, that's all of California.
Yeah. No, they had a real big one, the Loma Linda quake, and they made a movie about it on ABC.
Sure.
Oh, come on.
I don't know. I don't know where Loma Linda is.
You crucify all those movies.
I don't know. But I am not stunned that the radio station is tedious. Please.
Oh, it's unbelievable. They haven't had one caller in the last 25 minutes.
Let us know if they start doing like any sort of if they do like a tradio thing, like if anybody offers.
Actually, I got to turn now to Al Sharpton and listen to him.
Yeah, you do that. Yeah. It's like a whole just have a whole day of boring, tedious radio.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. That's David. He's got to go. He's got to get back to KCAA. And one more, Eric. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, Rick. How you doing?
What's up?
I just wanted to thank you profusely for that diatribe about comedy and cruelty. a friend of mine once said that, you know what, there's always going to be a little suffering in the world, and that's okay.
Well, you know, you can't be in denial about these things. You can't, because that gets nobody nowhere, or anybody nowhere. You know what I mean? It's a thing.
And I have to thank you for finally showing me that I am actually not living in a delusional world where people think that nobody gets hurt and nothing happens, and people being hurt isn't funny and all that.
Well, you know what?
You've restored my faith in humanity a little bit.
And this is actually not my observation. Somebody just emailed me this, but he said, you know, one of the highest rated programs on television for the last 17 years has been America's Funniest Home Videos, which is effectively, for all intents and purposes,
that's seven people's pants falling down.
Yeah, it's guys getting kicked in the balls. I mean, I don't mean figuratively. I mean, it's a guy getting kicked in his testicles. And people watch it. Hey, watch this guy. He's going to get kicked in the balls. And then everybody laughs. And people can say that it's wrong or that it shouldn't be the case or we should work to get past it. But, you know, the fact is that's what we find funny in this country. Well, guys getting hit in the face.
And women getting punched in their ovaries is funny, too. Let's be inclusive.
You mean a metaphorical punching?
Yes, of course. I would never, ever condone violence against anybody.
You can't even punch somebody in the ovaries. How would you even do that? Never mind. Prank caller. We're done. Bad phone company. It's 503-733. I don't even really know what that phrase means. It's 503-733-2970. That would be an overreaction, sir, to any situation. Overreaction. New direction. Here's Tim Riley. So let's take a little break from Don Imus and talk about our favorite old standby story, the casting date Anna Nicole Smith's daughter.
Fantastic.
It has not been decided today. After a brief hearing in the Bahamas, Smith's former companion attorney, Howard K. Stern, told the press that the court had adjourned without reaching any decision on the matter.
If it were up to me, the formal order in terms of giving Larry full custody would have occurred today, but unfortunately it didn't.
Howard K. Stern said Burkhead is a great dad.
The transition period has already begun. Larry spent the majority of the last few days over at the house getting to know Danny Lynn. He's been changing diapers, he's been feeding her, he's been playing with her, and if you ask my opinion, he's doing a great job.
Well, life. As much as we were just talking about it, you know, all of our, you know, humor being based in cruelty and the poking people in the eye and kicking people in the sack and so forth. Yeah, I'll give that guy the benefit of the doubt. He does seem very, I mean, I don't know. I don't think anybody really knows, but he does seem very into the kid. He has, and he seemed very into the idea of having custody of the baby for its own sake. There's a lot of talk that Daniel Lynn might not get any money because that's all contingent upon the Marshall family giving up the millions, which they're clearly going to fight tooth and nail to make sure that Anna Nicole's can never get any of that J. Howard Marshall money. So that Burkhead guy might have been, the odds are like 50% that he'll be doing all of this and he'll never see dime one from the Marshall family. I guess you could argue he gets some kind of publicity or maybe get to write a book or something. But I mean, really, how much of a book can he ever write about? I slept with Anna Nicole, and then I fought to get the kid. I mean, that's maybe a book, I suppose. But there's not a whole bunch of money he can ever get out of that. So he does seem to be doing it for the right reasons. There's all this talk about he and Howard Stern are going to, Howard K. Stern are going to strike some sort of a deal to, like, you know, transition to share custody. But, I mean, why? There's no point. I mean, there's no reason for Howard K. Stern to have anything to do with the kid. And I don't think
family picnics together.
I suppose. I don't see any reason. So I think they're all going to slink off into the daylight. And as somebody said yesterday, the next time we will hear from Daniel Lynn is she'll be like 16 or 18 or 19 or posing in Playboy. That'll be it. That'll be the next
thing.
She'll
be in a VH1 special.
Totally. That'll be it. And she'll be hot. And she'll be talking about how she's doing something tasteful in Playboy magazine to honor the memory of her mother. And they'll do some. Maybe when she's an adult, Daniel Lynn. Maybe when she's an adult, they can do like one of those Hank Williams Jr. Tear in My Beer things, where they electronically had Hank Jr. singing with Hank Sr. Maybe they could do some sort of a photo. They'll have the technology in 20 years, you know, when she's like 19 or 20 or 20, however she, whatever. When she's an adult, they'll totally have the technology to do some dual photo spread with Anna Nicole Smith and Daniel Lynn Smith. There you go. And I'll buy it. I'll pre-order it right now. Some sort of duet bubble bath. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Somebody has just jumped off the top of the Empire State Building and they're dead.
Okay.
Somebody has just jumped off the top of the Empire State Building and they're dead.
Just now?
Mm-hmm. More than 30 people have committed suicide there since it opened in 1931. So that's not too many, really.
When you say that someone just did this, what do you mean just?
Like just did this.
Moments ago?
Yes.
Really?
Within the last couple of minutes.
That's a weird...
Well, that's how instantaneous the news cycle is.
It is. It's part of the exciting, brave new world. That's weird to think that while we were just talking, someone was busy scaling the top.
They weren't listening to us. They'd be more cheerful.
They're listening to that California station.
They couldn't face a life without Imus.
Right. I don't understand.
They're no longer with us.
Okay. Well, the Empire State Building's hard to jump off. You been to the top of the Empire State Building?
No.
The Empire State Building is very, very, very hard to jump off of. I don't even know. Did they hit the pavement? Does it say?
I would imagine
so. I'm not trying to be morbid, but I mean the Empire State Building.
Well, let me try to find
it. Narrows as it goes up, and it widens as you go down to the floor. You know, down to the ground level.
Try to get the.
So it seems like you would hit like maybe the third. How tall is the Empire State Building? Anybody know offhand how many stories? It's like 80, right? Like 85 stories.
Yes.
Do we have a correspondent in New York? We do. We have Brian. Well, we already talked to him though. Brian Blank.
Can we call him back?
Oh, do you have a photo of it?
No, the body was dismembered upon impact. And the body parts were scattered along the street.
Really?
Somebody will pick them up and sell them.
Somebody jumped out of the 60th floor.
They'll be on eBay right now. The 60th? Oh, so not from the top.
There's no word as to whether the person was pushed, fell, or committed suicide.
I got all kinds of questions about that. All right. So, hold on. I got to go to Wikipedia right now. This is,
I'd like to help you, but my computer's dead.
Really?
Yes, unfortunately.
Of all the computers, the most important one in the building does not work.
Well, what can you do?
I'm sorry. This is more of that laughter at the expense of others. There's nothing I can do. I have nothing.
This is what Nancy Pelosi is pointing out with her San Francisco values.
Yes. Let's see. Empire. Oh, I just typed in Empire State Radio. I don't know why I did that. Empire. Hold on. Empire State Building.
Try 1010 Winds.
Let's see.
In Google, they would have something on that.
I'd like to help, but there's nothing I can do here. I'm just looking at a white screen with nothing on it. Let's sort of a Warhol-esque kind of a news department. The Empire State Building is 102 stories. This person, came out of a 60th story window, Sarah? So that
it doesn't say if they were pushed or jumped or fell.
All right. Well, I'm looking at this, and it looks like there are four distinct or discrete sections to this. The sort of mass at the top, and then three sections, each sitting on a section slightly larger than itself. So the 60th floor looks like it is. In other words, if you were to jump out of the 60th floor, it doesn't look like the building widens anymore from that point. So you wouldn't have the unpleasantness of hitting a balcony and merely wounding yourself. Because if you do that, you have to jump three or four times, probably.
You have to jump three or four times in order to commit suicide.
I'm saying if you jump and you only fall 10 floors, you got to walk all the way back up and jump again. You got to jump multiple times. I'm over-explaining the joke now. You have to jump 100 times to kill yourself. Sort of a cumulative death.
Like an intercom promotion.
A cumulative death. Da-da-dum-bum. And it'd be like a little sounder at the bottom. But if you jump out of the 60th floor, it doesn't look as though the Empire State Building widens anymore at that point. So you would go straight down and hit the ground, where, according to the news story Sarah has, the body was, quote, dismembered on impact.
This is from CBS TV.
Really?
So they would know.
Dismember.
I barely knew her.
And then, whatever. So there you go. So dismembered, and then they
dismembered upon impact, and body parts are scattered along the street.
Yes.
That is wrong.
Yeah. How'd you like to be that guy with that little round pushcart on wheels? That Snuffy the janitor guy that has to come along? That's no good. Yeah. Okay. That's the thing, and then we'll break here. Because otherwise we're just going to be sitting talking about a guy who jumped off the Empire State Building and is now scattered to the four winds, apparently. I will say this, that's one of the things in films that always bothers me. When somebody commits suicide by jumping off a building, and they always show is relatively intact, except there's like a bruise on one side of the face.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to know that if you jump off anything that has any sort of height to it, that's a whole lot of paste is what you're talking about.
Well, it's like those old World War II black and white movies. There's Everybody Blood.
No, where the guy gets, or the Western where the guy gets shot and he's got the white vest on, shot, no blood at all, and he just sort of clutches his chest as though he's had a seizure of some kind.
And they're all older guys when, in actuality, they're like 18 and 19 year olds getting killed.
Totally. There's always, there are always older guys, and then, okay, so I've got this, somebody's sending me a story about this right here, so. Yeah, you jump off that, you're going to be an inch deep and a mile wide.
Well, I'm always surprised that people jump off buildings that big don't just smack back into the building. I wonder if that's what happened. Because on the Tacoma Narrows, when people jump off of that, it's not the water that kills them. They usually get blown back into the bridge and smash against the...
Really?
I'm serious, yeah. They'll hit the beams, and that's how they'll die.
Beam is a funny word. Not the jumping, but beams. Oh, that's true, because you'd go right through there like a rock tumbler.
Yeah, so like they jump off and then they... go right underneath and smush against the thing and then fall into the water.
Well, the Empire State Building isn't near, I mean, it is near other buildings, but because of its height, you'd fall along. In other words, there are no buildings that directly flank most of those floors. So you would fall, but there wouldn't be any updraft, I would think. I think you would go straight down. I don't think you would hit the building. And again, there are no outcroppings. It doesn't look like there's anything jutting out. You probably wouldn't hit anything until you hit like a canopy or something, maybe sort of at the bottom.
Or a hot dog wagon or whatever.
Yeah. Yes. Let's hope that didn't happen. That's a bad way to go out. Spend your last third of a second, like, crashing through a Nathan's Famous hot dog wagon. All right. 503.
Well, it gave New York a chance to think about something other than that.
I was just going to say, really, he's done us all a service. Thank you, sir. Thank you, unknown jumper, for distracting us with the bright, shiny object of your death, distracting us for just a moment. All right, it's 503-733-2970. We'll have more when we get back. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. More from Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. The top five, Scott Daly, Tom Likas at three. Don't go anywhere.